Let's get to the people. Getting your first impressions of your Super Bowl Detroit Lions. We go to Ivory, 97.1. Ivory, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
Good, Ivory. What's up?
Yeah, so I'll be real quick. I got three points. You know, one of my biggest points in seeing, like, watching that game is, you know, being that they didn't play in the preseason together, and they technically haven't played in the live game since what? When was that 49ers game? Like, back then? So I think that's a big factor. Also, I think that, you know, defensively, yeah, they have rookies out there. I wouldn't blame the rookies because my biggest point is, you know, it's a concern that hasn't been answered in the fact that, you know, when you don't get to the quarterback like that, especially a quarterback like Matthew Stafford, you're going to get picked apart. And they need to find some way. I know Reader's going to come back, but that needs to be a major focus. They were going against second, third, backup of backups. And it was kind of disappointing that they didn't get more into the quarterback than they did. Also, you know, lastly, like, I don't understand, still don't get St. Brown, whatever. They rely on their scheme a lot. But not drafting a wide receiver high in the draft, let alone at all, it still shocks me, right? Because they're one injury away from just being in a bad spot at that wide receiver room. So,
yeah, but Ivory, as you can see, everybody's one injury away. I mean, Puka Nacua goes down. Who the hell are the Rams rolling out of the rack?
But the thing is, somebody stepped up. So we have to wait and see. But yeah, you're right.
Who are you going to draft? I mean, if you want to tell me, fine. You wanted a draft pick in the fourth round instead of Manu, the mystery man from Canada. I'm not mad at you. Hey, the one you should be mad at is the ridiculous Hendon Hooker selection. That could have been Tank Dell. Mm-hmm. You want to be mad about that. But like, J-Mo stepping up and Amon-Ra having a more quiet game, I view that as a massive positive. Like, you have someone to pick up the slack.
Right. And you had Amon-Ra having a lesser game and not losing it on the sideline and just saying, you know what, we won. And I don't have to shine all the time. Okay? I don't get paid by the catch. I get paid to be on this team. That's it.
Go to Nick, 97.1. Nick, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. How are you doing?
Good, Nick. What's up?
Well, very happy. Obviously, 1-0 to start the season. That's the biggest takeaway. But I would say, personally, for me, that game went as expected. Similar to you, Mike, I'm a realist. I understand the NFL is really hard to win every single week.
Oh, you mean we don't just win by 40 every week, Nick?
No. Like, it's crazy hearing people talk about that. I was listening to you guys on Friday. Your confidence, it's like, every week for me in the NFL, my confidence should be no lower than a 4, no higher than a 6, because that's how competitive each week is. But as expected, again, the Rams are a really good team. Both the teams last night know how to win and expect to win every week. So I knew it was going to be a battle. I knew it was going to be a one-score game. Ultimately, though, the positive, seeing that we came out on top, would be we do have one of the most complete rosters and talent in the NFL. You saw it with J-Mo. You saw it in overtime. Even when we're not playing our A game, we do what good teams do, which is find a way to win. Rico should know that as a 49ers fan as well. And also, I got to give credit to Dan Campbell yesterday. I thought he coached a pretty good game. I only went for it on one fourth down. He converted. Also, that final minute in the fourth quarter, I thought he did a pretty good job managing the clock. The Rams had three timeouts. There's the running clock situation with Gibbs. He did a pretty good job managing the game, and coordinators could be better. My other call-out, though,
hey,
too,
Nick,
real
Nick,
quick
Nick,
here.
Real quick, I'm going to let you finish. Were you like me wondering, what would Dan Campbell do in overtime had it got to fourth down? Would he take the field goal, or would he just say, screw it, we're going to go for it?
I think in overtime, if it's fourth and short and we're pounding in the red zone like we were close to the, you know, 10, within the 10, I think he would have went for it, and I would have probably just backed him on that. You have a chance to beat the team. You're at home. You're there. If it's short, gotcha. Why not? Like, let's go for it. But, Rico, speaking of you, got a question for you. Mm-hmm. Why is it that every week last year, this year, constantly when the Lions come up, we talk about them, you always focus primarily on the doubt and the negatives when it comes to this team? Can you just, like, be honest with the listeners and tell us that you just don't like the Lions, you want to see us lose every week?
Well, Nick, can you just be honest and you hear what you want to hear? Because I was the one that said J-Mo was going to be all of that, and he was. And I said, you're third receiver.
You bring good points. I'm not saying you're wrong, Rigo. I'm not saying you're wrong because you bring up good points.
No, you brought up how the Rams had a revenge game. There was a revenge game, and the last time I checked, it went to overtime.
It did. And I'm not saying you're wrong. What I'm saying is you always tend to dwell on throwing doubt before the game in a glass half empty versus a little more balance would be nice, like Mike gives. That's all I'm saying.
I just brought up two things that
Yeah, two positives for every, like, nine negatives, basically, if we're being honest here.
We're not, but okay, Nick.
Sure. Anyways, 1-0 would be better than what the 49ers have to say after tonight, so I'm going to leave it at that if we're going to play the Rico game.
Shots fired. I
don't know what happened here. You know what, Lions? You're pretty. I don't know what you want. This is why I don't care, because no matter what I say, you get callers like Nick. So you know what? F them.
Hold on. Why are you so angry?
Whoa.
You don't say anything positive. Like, I've sat here and said all of this stuff, and you hear what you want to hear. So, yeah.
Yes, David.
I'm sorry.
Just dismiss him then.
You look poised.
I did just dismiss him. I said F him.
Yeah, I don't think that's needed.
What am I supposed to say?
Just dismiss him and say, look, I said positive. I got it. You're good.
David, because I'm tired of fighting the fight. Okay?
There's no fight.
If I don't say that this is the greatest team and come out here with pom-poms.
Hey, but the 49ers are going to lose tonight.
Heaven forbid I actually say that the team came in here. It was a revenge game for them. They took you to overtime. You won the game. Okay.
All right. Kevin's up next, 97.1. Kev, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mike, Rico, hope you guys are doing well.
Great.
I was at the game last night, so I apologize if my voice is a little cracky. Rico, first of all, that last caller didn't know what he was talking about because you give the Lions a lot of credit where it's due. But it's a breath of fresh air to be able to have the confidence that they can get it done if they're not being successful through the air and just pound the line when they need to. But it's also we need to win every game possible because that home field advantage is –
everything.
It's critical because they were on the silent count from the minute they took the field with their first drive, and you could see the O-line for the Rams turning their heads, trying to keep up with what Stafford was doing. It's very rare that you see a quarterback like Stafford have a 300-plus yard game and be as successful as they were and still come out with a loss.
Yeah, and again, and 4 or 5 false starts as well.
Well, I think the crowd especially affected them when they got down to the red zone because you're closer to the crowd. It was louder, and that's when Stafford made all the mistakes where, like, how did he not see Kirby standing in the end zone? Like, he threw it right to him.
He just misidentified the coverage.
Oh, that's,
seriously.
And that's exactly – I've always had – Matthew Stafford is a good quarterback. I was never a really big fan because when it comes down to the crunch time like that, he always makes those sidearm throws that end up right in the defender's arms, and that's exactly what happened. It was right in the end zone. It landed right in Kirby Joseph's arms.
Look, he made one bad mistake. He made a couple bad mistakes he got away with. One branch could have taken to the house. The other branch laid out, tipped it, knocked it down. You can't make late throws to the sideline. Stafford did that twice. He threw a terrible pick. Goff made two bad decisions. It's week one of the NFL. I mean, Kevin, all things considered, I thought Stafford was pretty incredible last night. And luckily, you got pressure on him. And I think it was Aiden. Late in the game, minute to go. When
Cup was open.
That's a throw. If he's able to just step into.
Take a little bit off of it.
Game's over.
That's a first down.
So my point is, all things considered, I can't knock what Stafford did last night. I'm just glad the Lions beat him. Because I did not want to have to hear his wife in her podcast.
Did she show up?
No, she did not.
Okay, because I heard at the last second she was going to show up.
She did not get clearance from Trick Trick.
Trick Trick. I was about to say.
No fly zone. It's Rick Ross, Kelly Stafford. Not allowed.
I truly hope that's what happened.
You're
out. But I wish.
Well, no, I heard at the last second she was going to, sneak in. I was like, well, why?
No.
No fly zone.
Just why?
No tickets available, Kelly.
Just why?
248-539-9797.
Stafford may have paid Trick Trick to say no.